Hello, this is Jason Peebles, and this is a special cassette teaching tape on spiritual navigation. In fact, this is part one of a two-part series on spiritual navigation, how to navigate your life and your course by God's Spirit. What we're going to be doing on this particular series of tapes is we're going to be looking at parallel truths and parallel lessons that come from my flying experience, and we're going to relate that to piloting our lives in Christ. So it's going to be a very unique study. I think you'll get a lot out of it. I think it'll be approached from an angle that maybe you've not looked at before. You know, when we talk about spiritual navigation, we're really talking about spiritual sensitivity to God's Spirit. We're also talking about the realm of divine guidance, making right choices. How do you make right choices? Really, when you think about it, our lives are a series of choices and decisions. And as we make choices and decisions through our lives, it takes us down a path. It takes us down a road. And of course, the Bible says, I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So this whole idea of spiritual navigation, charting your course by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, is extremely, extremely important. Now, I bet you can tell that I'm recording this in my studio here in the Atlanta area. And normally when we produce tapes, there are tapes that come right out of our live seminars or our live conferences. But I've chosen rather to get in the studio. I feel like it's going to be more of a personal study. I can stick to the material better. In fact, I'm going to be using two of the study guides that we send out to our partners every single month. Now, I realize some of you will be getting these tapes long after these study guides have been distributed. And so we're really out of them. Once we mail these out, we usually have enough printed to mail out and maybe a couple of hundred extra, but they go pretty quick. So don't feel left out. You've got the tapes, and I'm going to be reviewing the material that's on the study guides. And I like that. You know, I like more of a teaching studio format sometimes. It's more personal, and I can really cover the ground. So let me encourage you, if you're in a position, maybe you're at your home or your office, wherever you may be, if you're, you know, in school, some of the people that get these are in college, in your dormitory room there, have your Bible handy. Get your Bible. Get a notebook, paper, and a pen. And you're going to learn more when you take notes and follow along. Now, I realize some of you will be in an automobile, and it's not a good idea to read your Bible while you're driving, so you just listen close. But spiritual navigation. Before we jump into the study, let me just take a moment to say thank you. I want to thank those of you who are partners with this ministry. And some of you, of course, you've helped our ministry through the purchase of these tapes. Others, you're receiving it through our partnership program. Either way, you're helping our ministry move forward. See, I don't have a congregation that I pastor. God's not led me in that fashion. God's led me to be a Bible teacher and an evangelist of His Word. And then, of course, our office serves as headquarters for over 40 missionary families now around the world. We've got families in Africa. These are full-time, Spirit-filled, charismatic families. Most of who have gone to Bible school, some type of preparation for the mission field. And they're paying the ultimate price. They've left, what we would call home. They've left America. They've gone, some of them, to Africa, Central South America, Europe, Asia, the Philippines, all parts of the world. And they're there serving the Lord day after day after day. And see, they depend on what our office does. Our office is their home office. We do all the office duties and chores that really have to be done. When you go to live on a foreign field, you really need an office in place to take care of your stuff. We do that. And so, you know, we feel like our ministry is reaching around the world, not only through my teaching and cassettes and literature, but through helping these missionaries. And I've said all that to say this, it really comes back to partners. And maybe you've heard that before, but it's not really registered. Without the prayer of the partners, without monthly regular support coming in, we simply could not do what we do. But praise God, we are doing it because God has impressed many of you to stand with us. If you're not a partner, I would encourage you to really pray about it, considering it. It's good soil. I mean, where else can you sow and instantly be linked to missionary families around the world? Not many organizations are really involved in that. There are a lot of teaching ministries today. There are a lot of evangelistic ministries, and very good ones, I'll say. But very few that are really directly involved in missionary activity and world evangelism. And we need more of them. Praise God, we're one of them. We certainly aren't the biggest, and I'm not saying we're the best. I'm not trying to be braggadocious, but I am saying thank God that His grace is allowing us to be on the cutting edge to help in a very real, substantial way in the different countries and continents around the world. So thank you, and if you're not helping, would you pray about it and join with us in this great march for world evangelism, the great commission of the Lord Jesus Christ being filled. Amen. All right, let's turn our attention to spiritual navigation. See, I've been a pilot for many years. In fact, if my memory serves me right, I got my pilot's license in 1982 and began flying at that time. Our ministry at the date of this recording, which is, we're already 1991 here, I've been instrument rated for several years. We've owned our own airplane in the ministry for about 4.5 years, and it has been a tremendous tool. Well, you know, in flying an airplane, you learn to navigate from point A to point B. And it's amazing how many parallel lessons, and here's what I'm trying to get at. There are parallel lessons, parallel truths to piloting an airplane and piloting your life in Christ. And so we're going to look at a number of these parallel lessons and parallel truths on both of these cassette tapes. And I think it's going to be a tremendous blessing to you. Now, I realize that most of you hearing this, you've never really flown an airplane, and a lot of you really have no desire to do that. So I want you to think of spiritual navigation in terms of driving an automobile. See, we're all familiar with how do you go from point A to point B. It's amazing how you can get in an automobile and drive across country to a place maybe you've really never been to before, go through towns that you've never been through before, but yet you know the way because you're following the map. Does that make sense? You know the way because you trust in that map. You trust that the numbers on that map, the markings, the roads on that map are true. And you've learned to read the map and follow the map. And because of that, you can navigate your automobile or an airplane or whatever, you know, the parallel there is. You can navigate all the way across country and arrive at your point of destination. In fact, let me read to you the word navigate right out of the dictionary, one of the definitions. The word navigate, we're talking spiritual navigation. Number one, it says navigate to plan and direct the course of a ship or an aircraft, or we might add an automobile, to plan. Now listen, to plan and direct the course. See, there's a course that God has for your life. There's a path that God has for you. I believe that. I believe that God has a unique plan and purpose, and more importantly, God wants you to know about it so you can begin to flow with it. Now, some of you listening to this cassette tape, you've already got an inkling or glimpses of your path. Some of you already have the confidence that you're on that path. Others of you, maybe you're, and this is a very honest place to be. You say, Jason, you know, I love God. I'm born again, full of the Holy Spirit, but I don't really know for sure what my path is. I don't know what my course is. Well, I believe that this series, these two tapes, two simple tapes on spiritual navigation will be tremendous for you, whether you know some of your course and path or whether you're honest enough to say, you know, I don't know, but I want God's will more than anything. So to plan and direct the course of a ship or an aircraft. And I'm reminded of a verse very quickly here, Romans 8:14. You may want to jot that down, and I do encourage you to take notes if you're in a position to do so. Romans 8:14, a wonderful verse. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Isn't that good? For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So see, your heritage is the leading of the Holy Spirit. God's desire is to lead you to help you navigate, to find your course and stay on course. And it's going to be accomplished by the influence and the work of His Holy Spirit in your heart and in your mind. See, if you're a believer, you've got the Holy Spirit in you. So we can kind of look at it this way. You've got the autopilot. Praise God. You've got the autopilot. You know, God's not just your co-pilot. He's the autopilot. He knows where He's going. The Holy Spirit knows. And then it's just a matter, really, of our thought life, that is our soulish realm, getting in touch with what the Spirit knows. And then we can begin to navigate and make sure we stay on course with what He desires us to accomplish. Another passage, just by way of introduction, that comes to me is Psalms 32. And again, write this one down. Mark it in your Bible, a tremendous verse or set of verses. Psalm 32, beginning with verse 8. God says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go." Oh, I like that. He says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way." See, the course, the path, the destination. "In the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye." I will guide thee. I will lead you. I will navigate you with mine eye. And then the next few verses are kind of amusing. He says in verse 9, "Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee." In other words, lest they get out of hand and stomp on you. He says, don't be like an old ornery horse or an ornery mule. You know, that you got to put a bit and a bridle and jerk them around. And if you've ever been around horses, I tell you, they've got a mind of their own. And there's many times you'll ride a horse and, man, you just have to kick the horse, pull it, beat it. It wants to go its own way. God says, don't be like that. What I want you to be is I want you to be so sensitive that I can guide you with mine eye, instruct you and teach you in the way which you'll go, and instead of having to, you know, put a bit and bridle on you and jerk you and pull you, I'll be able to lead you and guide you by my eye, by my spirit. The next verse, verse 10, says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." See, the wicked, they're like the horse. They're like the mule. They're going to go their own way. And he says, "Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusts in the Lord." And the context here again, Psalm 32, verse 8, is he'll guide you with his eye. It says, "He that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about." God's provision, God's help, God's grace, God's resources, they'll compass you, they'll circle you, they'll encompass you, surround you, encapsule you. And verse 11 says, "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." And I tell you what, you know, when you know you're on course, when you know what God's plan and destiny is for your life, and you have a sense and a well-being, hey, I'm on course, I'm on the path, it's very easy to fulfill verse 11. "Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous. Shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." So there are some wonderful introductory verses on this whole idea of spiritual navigation. Now, what I want to do is I'm going to give you, right off of the study guide here, keys for spiritual navigation. So if you're taking notes, you write across the notepad there, keys for spiritual navigation. And what we'll do on this tape, this first tape, and then on the second tape, is I'll give you the keys as that appeared on the study guide. You write those keys down. And then I'm going to amplify and talk about them a little bit, and we'll look up some verses. And I think it'll be a tremendous, tremendous insight on paralleling my experience as the pilot of an airplane. See, I fly literally every week. Every week I'm out there, praise God, preaching in churches and at conferences and different Bible schools. In fact, this year I flew all the way out to Dallas, Texas, and we were able to spend a full week at Christ for the Nations Bible Institute in Dallas, Texas. And then we flew our airplane. See, I'm the pilot of the airplane. We flew the airplane down to Houston, had meetings there. And so, you know, having an airplane in a ministry is a tremendous advantage. See, I've done it both ways. For 8 years, I drove everywhere and flew commercial. And that's so limiting. Where when you have your own airplane, you can be here one day and then hundreds of miles the next day preaching, and your body's not near as tired, and your mind is refreshed, and you can minister and stay in tune with God and cover thousands, literally, thousands of geographic miles in the course of just a few days, and you just don't feel it like you do when you have to hand-to-hand combat drive everywhere. All right, here's the very first key for spiritual navigation. Number one, and I'll read it just as it appears. Perhaps the very first parallel truth for spiritual navigation is this. You must have a compelling, consuming desire for it. Now, let me read it again. Number one, perhaps the very first parallel truth for spiritual navigation is this. You must have a compelling, consuming desire for it. Now, see, I want to take you back in time to 1982 when I, Jason Peebles, took my flight lessons. I can remember I wanted to learn how to fly. I knew that this driving everywhere across the country just wasn't going to cut it. The last van that I got through with had over 200,000 miles on it. We'd put a brand new engine in it, changed the engine out, and I mean, we got our money's worth out of that van. But, you know, it doesn't take you long, year after year, week after week, driving, being away from your family, being away from home sometimes. After you get through with a meeting, everybody goes back to their homes, and Monday morning they go to work and carry about their business. Well, many, many times on Monday and Tuesday, I'd just be driving endless miles that people never knew about, and you don't get paid for that, you know. You're just out there driving, trying to get home. By the time you get home, you're worn out. So I said, man, Lord, I want to learn how to fly. Praise God. You know, if it's good for God, God doesn't drive, does He? No, the Bible says He flies. I said, well, if it's good for God, that's what it's going to be for me. I want to fly. And so I began to take flying lessons. Well, I tell you, it's kind of a romantic thing to think about taking flying lessons. It's another thing when they make you go out there and get in that little two-seater trainer airplane. It's loud, it's bumpy, it's noisy. I was taking my flight lessons in the summer. It was hot and sweaty, you know, and there's the only two people in there. There's you that's in the pilot's chair, and then, of course, there's your instructor who climbs in next to you. And I can remember all kinds of feelings that would come over me during those lessons. You know, all kind of thoughts like, do I really want to do this, you know? Do I really want to follow through with this? And the day came. See, it's a piece of cake when the instructor's in there with you. I mean, you know, you're learning and it's awkward. You're learning how the plane maneuvers. You know, how do you bank left? How do you bank right? What is a stall? You know, if you pull back and the plane goes up too sharply on the nose, the engine will quit pulling and you'll stall the plane and it'll just begin to fall. And the landing procedures, takeoff procedures, and then, of course, you begin to learn about how to fly what they call cross-country, how to fly, say, from Atlanta, Georgia, maybe take a little short trip down to Macon. Well, I know how to drive there, but how do you fly, you know, your airplane there? There's no signs up in the skies. So you have to learn to use these little instruments, you know, to navigate. And I can remember how fear, I mean just raw fear, attacked me the very day that the guy got out of the plane and he said, Jason, today's the day I feel you need to solo. I said, so what? Solo. He said, you're going to go solo. I said, I'd rather go so high, not so low. He said, no, I don't mean go so low. I mean, you're going to go by yourself. I'm not going to be in the airplane. And man, I tell you what, when there was just something impending about when he slammed that door and locked it. And I realized, man, I'm the only guy in this airplane. It's going to either crash or land, you know, at what I do. And I can remember as I began to taxi out to the end of the runway, man, just fear would come on me, you know. Just all kind of thoughts. Well, what if this? What if that, you know? And I found myself talking out loud. And I really wasn't trying to just confess the word. It's amazing when you get in a jam how it'll help you just to talk out loud. Well, I think I can do it. I think I can run this. Yeah, okay, put the throttle forward. Not too fast, not too slow. Okay, turn in the right frequency for the tower. Okay, we got the tower frequency. And all right, let's check the engine. Let's pull out there. Make sure we're at the right runway. We want to be at the right runway before we take off. And I tell you, I was just kind of narrating to myself. It reminds me of a few days ago. I was on the back porch at our home cooking out hamburgers or something, and I saw my little girl, Joanna, and she's only four at the time of this recording. She's only 4 years old. And that she was going across the monkey bars. We've got a nice little swing set. She was going across the monkey bars. She didn't know I could hear her, but as she was going across the monkey bars, my little girl was literally saying, I think I can. I think I can. She was saying it out loud. I think I can. And every time she'd take one hand and kind of reach for the other monkey bar, I'd hear her go, I think I can. And she said that all the way across. And I thought, isn't that amazing? Even a child you know, knows to begin to confess positive if you've even taught them at all. They'll just flow in that. Well, there I was in the airplane. Man, I took off. And the first couple of times I went around, you know, getting it up is no problem. Just run it down the runway and pull back on the stick, you know, and you're up. The big challenge is landing, because the wind might be, you know, the wind might be blowing across the runway, and that tends to blow you to the left or to the right. And so you have to learn how to do what they call a crosswind landing. But, man, this fear. See, about the third time around, I came in too low. And I probably was going 150 miles an hour crossing the end of the runway. I couldn't hardly get the plane stopped. But, you know, so I did a couple good and a couple bad, and I progressed. And then, you know, there's this thing about flying. When you first start, you fly visually. You train under a set of rules called VFR. VFR for pilots stands for visual flight rules. So in other words, you're permitted to fly on a pretty day when there's not many clouds around. There can be some clouds, but you need to stay away from the clouds. Of course, it can't be overcast. It can't be foggy, raining. You're just a fair weather flyer. All right, and that's where everybody starts. Everybody starts flying VFR. And I can remember, you know, boy, I just felt comfortable right around the Peachtree to Cab Airport here in Atlanta. That's where I was training. As long as I could see home base, you know, I felt real good. But boy, they started getting me out a little bit further, taking me out to a practice area a little bit further, take me 10 miles away. By then, see, you can't see the airport. You got to recognize a river, or you got to recognize Gwinnett Mall or something from the air so you know where you are. And I can remember sometimes the fear that would come on me. Maybe some I'd be out there practicing and the haze level would get up, or there'd be clouds rolling in, and man, just this sick feeling would come on me. And I tell you, and I'm relating this now. See, if you want God's best, do you see where I'm going with this? If you really want to learn how to pilot your life in Christ, if you really want to learn how to navigate into God's will, you're going to have a compelling, consuming desire for it. Why? Because I tell you what, fear will absolutely rob you from God's best. I look back in my flying experience, and it was fear that almost caused me to quit. I mean, there were many days, literally, and I hope you're not listening to this around dinner time, but there were many days, literally, that I would almost throw up. In fact, a couple of days I did, I would throw up before my lesson because fear was just on me. And you know what? Fear usually is the result of a lack of knowledge. Fear usually is the result of a lack of knowledge. If you can ever get your knowledge increased and your experience increased in that area, fear is driven away. But you know, when you're going into God's will, the devil will try to put all kind of fear on you. Well, it's not going to work out. Your business is going to go under. Well, you've changed job careers now, and you've really messed up this time. Well, you've got yourself over your head, you know, and maybe your faith is being stretched. Maybe some discouragement has hit you. Well, I want to tell you what, if you'll have a compelling, consuming desire for God's navigation, God's guidance in your life, you'll have it, and it'll absolutely push aside fear. Let me read to you a verse out of 1 John chapter 4, probably a familiar verse to you, but I want you to see it in light of this idea of this compelling, consuming desire for God's best. 1 John 4, verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." See, I was in love with the idea of flying, and I just want to relate it to the natural here. I was in love with the idea that I could get somewhere in a matter of 2 hours instead of somewhere, you know, in 6 to 8 hours. I mean, I was in love with that idea. I was in love with the idea that I could begin to travel more extensively for the work of the gospel if I knew how to fly an airplane. And accomplish twice as much as what I could do in a car, an automobile, and accomplish half as much. I mean, that thrilled me, and the fact that I could do it and my body be at rest, you know, once I learned how to fly. But that fear almost stopped me. And I'll tell you what, fear many times will stop people. I've talked to would-be ministers, would-be missionaries, would-be business people, you know, would-be university students. All these would-be people, and they wanted to. There was something that kind of wanted to, but they didn't have that consuming drive and desire to go for it that just pushed out fear. And see, let's relate it over to God's will. God's will for your life. You need to be so in love with God, so trusting of God, so assured that God will not send you down a path that will hurt you. God will not, torment you and give you the worst possible thing you can think of. God is out to bless you. God is out to put you on the path of life. Now, it may seem difficult what He's called you to do. I'm not saying it won't seem impossible, because most of the time when God speaks to us, it seems impossible. Why? Because God lives in the realm of the impossible. You know, from our perspective, it seems impossible. See, if God only told us to do things we could do by ourselves, guess what? We don't need God. But God comes and gives us a vision. God comes and gives us a dream. God comes and gives us instructions. We begin to have a general glimpse or a feeling, an impression. It just won't leave us alone. That's what we're supposed to do. And we need to have this compelling, consuming desire for it, realizing God has our best. And it'll absolutely push or cast fear out. It'll overcome fear. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. It says, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Well, let's turn that around. If you have perfect love, then fear and torment are going to be cast out. And so fall in love with God and the idea that God's will is something that He wants you to know about, and that God's will is exactly what will cause you to be fulfilled, happy, and prosperous in this life. I'm thinking of another passage, and you might hear my Bible rustling here, the pages of my Bible, and I told you, I'm just in the studio preaching. I'm preaching, praise God, as though I'm speaking to 1,000 people, because I believe you're important, and there will be 1,000 people listening to these tapes. Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of your faith, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. Did you hear that? God doesn't want you just to be guessing. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to be filled with the knowledge, the understanding, the comprehension of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? Verse 10, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful. See? Being productive, being successful. The way that you're going to be the most successful is for you to find out what God wants you to do and then navigate into it. Navigate accordingly. Well, I go back to my flying experience. That sick feeling, that fear, gradually left, as my confidence level built up. See, now, years later, when I fly an airplane, now that's a 200-mile-an-hour airplane. It flies 200 miles an hour. It flies very high. It can go, up into the teens very easily, 18,000, 19,000 feet if you breathe oxygen. Normally, I'm flying around 11,000, 12,000 feet, going 200 miles an hour. It has six seats in it, can carry, up to six people. Usually there's me flying, there's my assistant or some of my family members with me. We've got tapes, we've got books. You know what? There's no fear. There's no sick feeling when I fly. There's just the pure joy and the benefit of flying and getting to where I need to get, going 200 miles an hour. And if you want God's guidance, you must desire it. Listen to this. If you want God's guidance, you must desire it more than anything else. Overcome fear by focusing on the benefits. Well, let me read to you a verse out of Jeremiah. Another verse. If you don't have this one marked, boy, you really ought to mark this one in your Bible. See, this is one of the benefits. This is one of the things that will motivate you to have that compelling, consuming desire for God's will above everything else. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. See, that's God's promise. He says, hey, call unto me. Call unto me. Begin to seek me. Don't just call once or twice. I mean, have a compelling, consuming desire. Some of us, I tell you, some of you just need to take a day off. and do without two or three meals. Fast those meals to God. Get your Bible. Get a bottle of juice. You know, just go camp out somewhere and just begin to seek God. Begin to cry out to Him. Call to Him. And, you may not come back that very day knowing everything that He wants you to do. But just the fact that you're calling unto Him, crying out to Him, He says, I will answer thee, and I'll show thee. See, He's going to begin to reveal to you. He'll begin to, the just so happenings will just start happening. You know, just the right people, the right doors, the right breaks, the coincidences will start happening. He says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Not little old things, great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. See, in our natural minds, we can't comprehend what God has, but by the work of the Holy Spirit, we can. But it takes us crying out and calling unto God. See, your purpose in life is no trite or small thing. And that's why God set it up that only the people who look for, ask, seek, and knock, call unto Him, cry unto Him, seek His face, only the really sincere are the ones He's going to deal with. He doesn't want to mess around with somebody who does not have this compelling, consuming desire. And I go back to flying my airplane. You must have a compelling, consuming desire for it. And of course, every analogy breaks down somewhere, and maybe this one does a little bit, but I think there's a parallel lesson here. You know, any flight instructor worth his salt, he just really doesn't want to mess around with somebody that comes out there once every 3 months to take a lesson, because they will have long since forgotten what they covered the last time. See, most flight instructors, they want somebody that comes out there that means business, that's ready to get in that airplane on a daily basis or an every other day basis, but certainly a very consistent basis, who will not forget and lose the skills that they are trying to impart to them. I mean, man, he wants somebody who wants to learn how to fly. He doesn't want to mess around with part-time people. He wants somebody who's looking for it, consumed by it, compelled by it, who's willing to be teachable. You know, those flight instructors, man, they're some of the meanest guys. And I'm certainly not saying God's mean, because He's not, but I'm just trying to tell you what you have to go through to learn how to fly. I mean, they'll slap your hand. You know, you reach over there for the wrong instrument. Man, of course, you got to understand the engine's real loud, so a lot of times you're dealing with sign language. They'll just absolutely reach over there and just, you know, slap your hand. Don't do that again. I told you 5 minutes ago not to do that. Don't do that again. Well, you know, if you get your feelings all hurt and just get all wimpy about it, you'll never learn how to fly. Man, the guy's trying to help you. See, he's trying to help you. He's correcting you because he knows if he doesn't teach you right, you're going to get out there and hurt yourself. And I tell you what, God, he may correct some things in your life. He may tell you to change course here, change course there. He might tell you to leave this school, go to that school. He might have a job career change ahead of you. He might tell you to be a missionary. I don't know what God has for you, but I'll tell you what, it'll be a great and a mighty thing. And it'll be the only thing that will ever really satisfy you. And why? He doesn't want you to crash. He doesn't want you, you know, somebody says, well, I know so-and-so, he's prosperous, and he doesn't know God. Yeah, but he's probably got a lot of sorrows attached to it. A lot of sorrows. You say, well, no, they seem happy. All right, well, look at the end of his life when he dies. Will he go to heaven or hell? See, all these questions, many times we just measure prosperity by what kind of car does somebody drive. And I tell you, that is so meaningless in the realm of the eternal. Another verse, and then we'll be through with this particular point. You ought to mark this one, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. See, you say, Jason, I want to call. I want to cry unto God. I want to know what His will. How will that happen to me? It'll happen by the Holy Spirit. It'll happen by the Holy Spirit communicating to you. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That's the Holy Spirit. That we might know. Isn't this good? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. See, God's got them prepared. God's got the chart. He's got the map. Go back to driving your automobile. He's already planned the trip. Man, He's got it marked out with a yellow highlighter, and He's waiting for you to call unto Him, seek Him, get on course, and start flying, you know, the flight plan. Not only file the flight plan, fly the flight plan. So, perhaps the very first parallel truth for spiritual navigation is this. You know, before we talk about IFR training, instrument training, learning how to do all this kind of stuff, you know, the thing that makes a guy, whether he's going to make it through flight school or not, is, man, the guy wants to learn how to fly. That's the bottom line. I mean, he's pinched pennies. He's saved his money, scraped it together. All of his relatives have tried to talk him out of it. Oh, I wouldn't get in an airplane. Those little airplanes are so dangerous. You're going to get out there and kill yourself. You know, that's what his grandmother probably said. But against all odds, man, he goes out there to that flight school. Why? Because he wants to learn how to fly. He doesn't want to dwell down here, you know, where the turkeys live. He wants to get up there where the eagles soar. You know, he's tired of driving, man. He wants to learn how to fly. And I tell you what, there's a parallel truth to that, a compelling, consuming desire for the will of God. All right, number two. The second, and remember, these are keys for spiritual navigation. Keys for spiritual navigation. Number two, you must accept the fact that spiritual navigation is a learning process. It will take time and effort to develop your skills. I want to read it again. Number two, the second key for spiritual navigation. You must accept the fact that spiritual navigation is a learning process. It will take time and effort to develop your skills. Now, I want to relate this to flying and relate the idea of you learning how to fly into God's will and not only get on course, but stay on course. See, there's a difference there between, there's a lot of pilots, they start out on course, but they get their eyes off of their instruments, or maybe a strong crosswind blows them what they call off course, and they have to correct and get back on course. There's all types of parallels there, see. But you must accept the fact that it's going to take some time to learn it. They start you in an airplane by just learning the basic things, how to take off, how to taxi the plane on the ground, how to take off, how to circle around the airport, how to land the plane. In other words, just getting used to handling the airplane. You know, learning what'll kill you. You know, you don't want to stall the airplane when you're 500 feet above the ground. That's a big no-no because you don't have enough space to recover. You're going to hit the ground too hard and probably get to heaven quicker than you wanted to, you know. So they teach you basic things like that. But then there comes the day where they say, okay, now you've learned how to take off the plane. You've learned how to land the plane. Now it's time to learn how to navigate. And that's the big word they throw at you. Now you must learn how to navigate the airplane. You say, well, what do you mean by navigate? Okay, you're not learning to fly just so you can loop around the airport forever. You've learned to fly so you can fly from Atlanta to Rochester, New York. Or you've learned how to fly so you can go from Atlanta to Kansas City or Miami Beach, Florida, or West Palm Beach, Florida, or Houston or Dallas. You know, get in the plane and go and get there, you know, and not get lost. And not get lost. Well, that takes time. It takes effort. And I tell you, there's a realm where you have to develop skills. Skills. And it's the same way spiritually. See, I wish I could tell you that just go fast for one day, you know, and you're going to come up knowing every little detail, every little decision to make, but that's just not the way it is. You'll begin to get glimpses, you'll begin to get insights, but flying the flight plan is going to require some time, some effort, and some skills. But I tell you what, even a child can learn to do it. Even a child can learn to do it. See, this follows right after compelling, consuming desire. Compelling, consuming desire. Now, let me read some of the things off the study guide here under the whole idea. It will take time and effort to develop your skills because maybe you've not ever thought of this in light of divine guidance. Somebody says, well, I just thought, you know, divine guidance just happened supernaturally. I mean, just, you know, an angel walks in your room and hands you the flight chart, you know, and you know what to do. No, there's going to be times in your life where you're not going to know what to do. There's times in my life and in my ministry right now when I just absolutely don't know what to do. I mean, I've got some ideas. I could do this or I could do that. But what's right, that's where I got to take it to prayer. I have to begin to use some of my prayer skills. I have to begin to use my faith skills. I have to begin to use the Word of God. I have to bring my thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. I have to set my mind on things above. I have to receive counsel from others. See, there's these different skills. There's these different tools, if you will, instruments that God has given us. And the combination of these instruments allows us to navigate properly. Any one of the instruments by itself it would be dangerous to trust any single instrument in an airplane. You know, there may be some emergency times where you have to do that, but hopefully you've got a well-outfitted panel of instruments. You can cross-check, cross-reference, and you begin to have a mental picture painted by those instruments that you know where you are and, more importantly, where you're going. All right. It will take time and effort to develop your skills. All right, flying an airplane and navigating over hundreds of miles. Now, think about this. Some of you have never done this, but it's very common, see, for me to get out in the airplane, and I'm going to fly from here to Kansas City and land at an airport I've never been to. You know, I don't know what it looks like, but I'm going to get there, and I'm going to land in just a few hours. You know, we just got back from a trip all through Kansas, West Kansas. I'm talking little communities out there, fine people, small farming, ranching-type communities, all out through the panhandle of Oklahoma, Guymon, Oklahoma, up through there. And see, I went to a lot of little towns I'd never been to before, but I knew how to get there. You say, you've never been there, but how did you know how to get there? Well, I knew how to use the skills. See, I knew how to use the skills. I knew how to look at the instruments. And so, you know, it was very common. We took off from Atlanta, flew to Little Rock, stopped to refuel and get a little food to eat. Flew from Little Rock to Tulsa, stopped there, had a meeting there. Went from Tulsa all the way to Garden City, Kansas. That's almost to Colorado. If you look on a map, I mean, it's right next door to Colorado, Garden City. Then we went from Garden City to Hays, Kansas. That used to be Fort Hays. You know, that was one of the frontier forts before, you know, it really became a state out there. Went to Hays, Kansas. Then went to McPherson, Kansas. Then from there down to Guymon, Oklahoma. Just crisscrossing all out through there. See, but how? By skills that we took the time and the effort to learn. So flying an airplane and navigating over hundreds of miles is something you learn. It's a process. It does take time and effort. Many would-be pilots, now listen to this, many would-be pilots quit because they want instant certification. And it's just not going to happen. I mean, you just can't go out to the airport and say, look, I've got 24 hours to learn how to fly. Today's the day. They'll laugh at you. They'll say, well, come back some other time when you've got about a month to learn, at best, you know. But many people want instant certification. And many people want instant arrival in their destination. It's amazing to me how many people come out of Bible school these days. And I don't know, they've seen Oral Roberts or Kenneth Copeland or Billy Graham or somebody. You know, and they think they're just going to come right out of Bible school. They're going to have this worldwide ministry. You know, they're going to be driving a Lincoln Continental because, you know, if you're a faith person, you'll drive something fancy like that. And they, you know, they have no concept of paying a price, no concept of sitting in a two-seater airplane, it's kind of a humbling thing to have to sit in this old, ugly-looking two-seater airplane with an instructor slapping your hand, you know, and you'll make some mistakes, and he'll correct you. But see, a lot of people have no idea that there's a process you go through to walk with God, and there really is. The Holy Spirit is our great instructor and teacher. He knows all about how to navigate into the will of God. Yet, it's going to take time for you to learn and get tuned in with your instructor. Many student pilots think they can get it out of a book only. Now, I want you to hear this. Don't misquote me now, but I'm going to make some statements that might cut across the grain of what you've heard before. Many student pilots think they can get it all out of a book. You know, there's some people that think, bless God, if I've got my Bible, that's all I need. I want to tell you something. You can have your Bible, and you've got a nice literature book and history book. Without the Spirit of God, you don't have much. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Yes, praise God for the Bible. Praise God for the Bible and the promises therein. But I tell you what, they are meaningless without the Spirit of God in our lives to apply them and implement them. And so, you know, there's a lot of student pilots. They think they can just go take a book, go home and read about how to fly an airplane. And certainly you have to do that because theory is fine, but eventually you're going to have to get in the plane with the instructor and fly. See? So the book is one thing. Getting out there and doing the stuff is another thing. You will make some mistakes. No doubt about it. Keep going. You will get discouraged. Don't give up. The key in flying an airplane, and I'll tell you the key in navigating by the Spirit, is do it, do it, do it. Practice, practice, practice. Improve, improve, improve. It's interesting that in the flying of an airplane, every 24 months, every 24 months. I don't care if you fly for Delta. I don't care if you fly your own little plane like I do. Every 24 months, all pilots must undergo a flight review. That's where they get back in the airplane with a certified instructor. He takes you up. He puts a hood over your head if you're instrument rated. They actually put a hood over your head so that the only thing you can see are the instruments. You can't look outside. You can't see landmarks. You don't know if it's cloudy, foggy, what. You're just staring at an instrument panel. He'll make you take the plane off that way. He'll make you fly across country, say, to Macon or Kansas City or wherever you're taking your flight review. He'll make you do an approach to an airport and come down just about 100, 200 feet above the runway. Then he'll say, look up, and either you're there or you're not. And they go through a flight review. Why? Because it's an ongoing, listen to me, it's an ongoing learning training process to keep your skills up to snuff. And we are on point two. You must accept the fact that spiritual navigation is a learning process. It will take time and effort to develop your skills. See, when we talk about spiritual navigation, really what we're talking about is being sensitive to God's guidance. Isn't that what we're talking about? In other words, God leading you and guiding you. Well, see, you're going to make some mistakes. You say, Jason, I won't confess it. Well, that's just the fact of life. You are going to make some mistakes. You say, well, is God going to lead me wrong? No, God is not going to ever lead you wrong. The Word of God won't lead you wrong, and the Holy Spirit won't lead you wrong. But I find that in my own life and in observing many other people's lives, many times the fault or the short circuit comes in our soul. See, in our own minds, our own emotions, what we think was God maybe wasn't God. And the Bible, has a lot of verses about this that I think are very practical. In fact, I'm thinking of one now, and I'm turning there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says, quench not the Spirit. In other words, we need to yield to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We don't need to be afraid of this area. Quench not the Spirit. The next verse, verse 20 says, despise not prophesying. See, many times the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you through prophecy. That may come through another person, but I would think more normally it would come out of your own mouth. You need to learn how to prophesy to yourself by God's Spirit. You need to learn how to pray in tongues and interpret your own prayer language. We need to depend upon the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what the Bible calls words of knowledge, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. These are tools and weapons, manifestations of the Spirit of God, but in order for them to manifest, guess where they have to usually go through? The soul. See, the Spirit has to manifest through the link, the inner link between your physical world and God's Spirit is what the Bible calls the soul. And the soul is your mind, the soul is your will, and the soul is your emotions. So it's very conceivable that when the Holy Spirit begins to talk, many people have said, you know, well, I know the Holy Spirit told me to go to Africa or Jamaica or wherever. Okay, yeah, but they say, well, why did everything hit the fan? Why was it so difficult? Why was there such a challenge? Well, it could be your timing was wrong. I'm not saying it was. It could be just the fact that the devil's fighting you. Probably is. We know that. God's not going to fight his own word, send you to Jamaica, and then turn around and fight you. But the timing, there's timing. So quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. But listen to the very next verse. Verse 21 says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. In other words, learn how to test it. Learn how to prove what you think is God. Learn how to hold fast that which really is God. And discard the rest, or if the timing's not right, set it over to the side and let God bring it to pass. Let the circumstances begin to line up. But there's that realm. And now it's like flying an airplane. See, my instruments are never wrong, unless there's a malfunction with them. But, you know, a normal instrument is never going to be wrong. It's going to be producing the right information. But my interpretation of that information, or my visual looking at that information, I could see it wrong or think I saw it saying to when it said from, like on a VOR, or north instead of south, or whatever instrument you're looking at, the compass or the directional gyro or the VOR, or the ADF, the automatic direction finder, these different instruments that are in the airplane. But the way that I interpret that, or the way that I assimilate that, there could be some error there. So that's the importance of alertness. That's the importance of watchfulness. That's the importance of staying spiritually in tune and sharp. Now, one of the main things they teach you when you begin to fly an airplane and you begin to develop your skills, you move from what we called a moment ago VFR, visual flight rules, to something where we call IFR, instrument flight rules. And I don't want to jump too far ahead because this is going to be our next point, but mainly just to say this, there is a difference between flying visually, that is seeing what's outside the cockpit of the airplane, and flying totally by instruments, that is with reference only to the instruments in your panel. It takes additional training, additional skill, additional practice, and it takes recurrent training in order to stay current so that your skills haven't lapsed. Well, similarly speaking, you know, when you begin to walk with God and you begin to see what He wants you to do, that's the importance of the daily devotion. That's the importance of daily praying in the Spirit. That's the importance of daily praying to God. That's the importance of staying alert, staying in fellowship. You know, and there's a lot of pilots, they'll get out of the saddle, so to speak. They'll not fly for 4 or 5 months or a year. They go back out there, they can't believe how rusty they are. They're dangerous up there. And so what do they have to do? Well, they have to go get a recurrent training. They have to get back in there with an instructor, get back current, get their skill level up, etc. And I said that to say this, the Holy Spirit is going to lead you and guide you perfectly. But our soulish limitations many times, because our minds are not yet fully renewed to the Spirit and to the Word of God. Praise God, we're in the process of that. And I tell you, we can get awfully close and begin to walk in the first fruits of it all. But there is that realm where practice, keep going, don't get discouraged. Somebody said, well, you know, one time I thought God said this, and it didn't turn out, so I just quit with all that stuff. I don't want anything to do with it. Well, you know what I feel like saying to people like that? I feel like saying, well, good luck with the rest of your life, because all of life is like that. I mean, you can remember when you learned how to drive an automobile. It seemed complicated. Man, there's only two pedals on the floor, you know, unless you're driving a stick shift. There might be the clutch pedal. But, I mean, it's not very complicated. But I'll tell you, it almost seemed overwhelming when you first learned how to drive. And for a while, you were so cocky, you were so good, man, you were dangerous, you know, until maybe you had a few close calls and you learned you better not do that. You better not pass somebody when there's a yellow line. You know, you don't need to be going 80 miles an hour through an intersection. That's the time to slow down and to look both ways. Even if the traffic light says green for you, defensive driving says look both ways, somebody may not be stopping on their red. And so you begin to learn, you see. You begin to learn and develop your skills. Well, the same thing when you begin to learn divine guidance, spiritual sensitivity, hearing the voice of God, discerning the voice of God. And see, we've got great materials on this. We've got other tape sets that I really want to encourage you to consider getting. We have a tape set called How to Activate the Voice of God. We've got one whole set called How to Discern the Voice of God. Once you think you've heard God, how do you prove it and test it and hold fast that which is good? How do you know if it really is God or not? We've got a whole tape set on that. We've got a whole other tape set on principles of divine guidance. How does God lead you and guide you? You say, well, why don't you put all that on this tape? Well, it wouldn't fit, you know. That's why we've got 5 or 6 different tape sets on this vital area of learning. See, learning how to hear and follow God's will. One passage before we leave this point, John 16, beginning with verse 13. Boy, you ought to mark this. Verse 13 down through about verse 15. Jesus says this, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Isn't that wonderful? The Holy Spirit has been sent to guide us into all truth. Not just head knowledge truth, but what is the true course for your life? See, your truth and my truth might be different. The truth for me is I'm called to be a teaching evangelist and a missionary statesman. I mean, that's what my call is. I'm called to help missionaries, promote missions, just kind of be like a statesman, like an ambassador, go around and stir up missions. And I'm also called to teach the principles of victory from God's Word. That's the two hats that I wear That's the two-prong attack God's given me. Now, that truth is not necessarily the truth for you. God's truth for you might be to start a multi-million or billion-dollar business. All it takes is an idea and a willing heart and two legs that'll work hard. You know, but that may not be God's truth for you. I don't know what it is, but the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. It goes on to say in verse 13, He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. See, the Holy Spirit's hearing. Where is He hearing from? Jesus. Jesus is telling the Holy Spirit about you. And the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking to you. Are you listening? Are you sensitive? Are you tuned in? Or are you on the wrong channel? You know, there's a lesson there about TV sets. Man, the greatest game in the world could be being played, but if you're on the wrong channel, you're not going to be seeing it. And the greatest game, the greatest mission, the greatest destination that ever has been, you know, described is waiting for you. But if you're on the wrong channel, man, if you're doing something you're not supposed to be doing, you'll never see it. See? But He'll speak to you. And it says He will show you things to come. Oh, I love that. He'll show you what's to come. There's a prophetic destiny. See, as a Christian, because you've got the Holy Spirit, you have inherent in you a prophetic capacity. Why? Because it says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Any way you cut that, that's prophetic. The Holy Spirit will show you down the road. Why? Well, so you can adjust your course accordingly. See, in my airplane, I've got something called a storm scope. Praise God. We just traded our airplane a few months ago for a very similar one, but one that has much better equipment in it. And this one has a storm scope. I flew for 4 years through all kinds of weather without a storm scope. And I want to tell you, it's a whole lot better to have one with a storm scope. Why? That storm scope has different settings on it. There's a 200-mile setting. There's a 100-mile setting. There's a 50-mile setting. There's a 25-mile setting. That storm scope can look out there, as it were, and read 200 miles away and paint a little picture on the scope. Where are the storms? Why? So I can circumnavigate them. That means go around those babies and leave them alone. Shows me how to navigate. I may have to go out of my way a little while, but then I'll turn back on course. Why? Because I'm going to my destination. So you see, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Verse 14, He will glorify Me. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. For He, the Holy Spirit, shall receive of Mine and show it unto you. He'll show it to you. So the Holy Spirit is our great instructor. He's the certified flight instructor, praise God. But we got to be tuned in. Verse 15, All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He, the Holy Spirit, shall take of Mine and show it unto you. Look how He repeats that over and over. He will show you things to come. Verse 14, He'll show it unto you. Verse 15, He'll show it unto you. Verse 13, He will guide you into all truth. So, see, there's that process. There's a process. And I want you to, I'm saying that, don't be discouraged. Maybe you've missed it in the past in some areas. Well, be man enough, be a woman enough to admit it and say, I've missed it there. Don't try to cover it up and make, you know, God gets the blame for a lot of things. People say, well, God told me to do this. Then 3 days later, well, God's changed His mind. You know, 4 months later, well, God told me to do it, but it sure ended up a mess. But, you know, I guess that was God's will. And I'll tell you what, because people aren't humble enough to repent and recognize when they've missed it, I'll tell you, I've missed it. I've missed some things in my ministry. I look back, there's two or three things, that major things, where I've missed it. But you know what? God kept working with me. Praise God. He still loves me. He didn't just throw me aside and say, well, you'll never make an evangelist. And that's not what He's going to do with you. He said, well, you'll never make a business person. Well, you'll never own a home. You blew the first chance. You'll never own a home now. No, don't let the devil whip you around like that. See, praise God. He's full of mercy. He's full of mercy. And you keep seeking Him. You keep training yourself. Now, you know, again, before I leave this, some pilots, man, they just won't admit an error. And they keep flying north when they should go south. And they'll never get to their destination. So there's a lesson to be learned there. There's a parallel truth there. All right, number three. Let's look at the third one. This is our next to last one. Number three, write this one down. The third key for spiritual navigation is this. To properly fly an airplane, you must learn to rely on your instruments and not on your feelings or what you see outside. Number three, to really properly fly an airplane, you must learn to rely on your instruments and not on your feelings or what you see outside. Now, I'll tell you, that's a real learning process. As I said, you start off VFR, visual flight rules. And then hopefully you'll go on. It takes more money, it takes more training, it takes more time to get a second level of pilot certification called the instrument flight rules. And I'll tell you, this opens up a whole new world for you. It's opened up a whole new world for me since I've been instrument trained, instrument certified. Because before, man, you could only fly when it was sunny outside. And you can imagine trying to fly from Atlanta, say, to Washington, D.C., which I've flown a number of times. You go from Atlanta to Washington, D.C., well, you realize how many miles that is? It could be sunny here, or it could be stormy up in Virginia, and then it could be kind of overcast in Washington, D.C. You might fly through three or four different kinds of weather conditions in order to get there. So it's very rare to be able to fly, you know, hundreds of miles and have the whole country just the ideal pretty day. So you're very limited. Well, similarly, with your spiritual navigation, there's going to be times where things are going to go your way. There's going to be times where, you know, the money's in the bank. There's going to be those times of quiet and peace where, praise God, you're sitting around the fireplace with your children and there's not a care or concern in the world that's pressing on you. I'll tell you what, if you want to be honest with yourself and with God, there's going to be times where, I tell you, it seems like every devil in hell is fighting you. There's going to be times where it seems like, you know, in the ministry, my partners all forgot about me this month, you know. I mean, we don't have half the money we should have, or I wonder if anybody's praying. My, 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 you know, there you go. Every one of us face situations like that, and that's where we have to learn to fly by faith. You hearing me? We have to learn to fly by faith. Why? What is faith? Faith is trusting your instruments. Faith is believing what God has said. Faith is believing what the instrument panel says. Faith is believing what the Bible promise says. Faith is where you fix your gaze and your scan on your instrument panel, and you don't care outside if it's foggy. You don't care if it's windy, if there's a 50-knot headwind. You are intent on getting to your destination. Bless God, you've learned to fly by instruments. I'll tell you, the first time that when I took my flight training, it seemed so awkward. I mean, you know, I'm used to looking outside, compare what I see out there with what the map says, and all of a sudden they hand you a brand new map. Are you hearing me? They hand you a brand new map. It's unlike any other chart or map you've ever seen. There's no pictures on it of little rivers. There's no pictures on it of cities. There's no pictures. There's just dots and lines and frequencies and numbers. And you go, I can't use this. I want something that's got some pictures on it, you know. And I tell you what, they begin to train you to fly by instruments, believing the figures, believing the instruments, believing the DME, the distance measuring equipment, believing the VOR. You can trust in the radial and the distance from the radial, believing your LORAN, believing your RNAV, area navigation instrument, believing your directional gyro. You believe that compass. You might feel like you're going north, but if it says you're headed south, bless God, you're going south. And you begin to plan in your head accordingly. See, the parallels between flying and faith are truly amazing. And I have found that most pilots, once they get saved, most pilots who have gone through instrument training, they really get hold of the message of faith quick. You know, people that have never had to fly by instruments, they have no concept of that. It takes them a little longer. But you know what? You take an old pilot, man, he's used to trusting his instruments. And you begin to tell him, hey, the Bible and the Holy Spirit, they're your instrument panel. Man, he catches that thing and he knows how to walk by faith pretty quick. See, you learn to believe the attitude indicator. There's an instrument in the airplane called the attitude indicator. And it tells you the attitude, or that is the position of your airplane with relation to the horizon. Is your nose down or is the nose up? Is your left wing high or is your right wing high? In other words, are you banking left or are you banking right? Maybe your nose down and banking right. You're in a descent, what they call a descent. Your nose has dropped below the horizon, and you're descending and turning to the right at the same time. So you have an attitude indicator. You have an airspeed indicator. It tells you whether you're going too fast, too slow. You've got a directional gyro that works with your compass. It tells you whether you're going north, south, east, or west, 360 degrees, 90 degrees, 180 degrees, 270 degrees. Where are you headed? You've got radios. There's something there. You've got radios. People talking to you on the radio. Are you tuned in and are you listening? See, if the voice on the radio says, and my call sign for my airplane is November 3, 9, or 9, or 8, 4. See, every plane has a number on it. And when I hear that voice say, November 3, 9, or 9, or 8, 4, make an immediate right turn to 10 degrees. Man, I'm going to make an immediate right turn to 10 degrees. Why? Because he's got the big picture. There may be another airplane coming in on the other side of that cloud bank up there. Might be a jumbo jet. That's not the time to feel led to disobey the man. You know, you might get to heaven quicker than you ever wanted to. And so you learn to trust in your instruments. You may be surrounded by clouds, but you fly anyway. Trust in your instruments. They are dependable. You have faith in them. See, God's promises and His voice are our instruments. Fly by them. Learn to rely on what He says instead of what you feel about it. And that's where you've got to build some confidence in the voice of God. Another verse that comes to me, Romans 3, 17 through 25, talking about Abraham, the father of faith. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. See, God had promised him, you're going to have a son. He heard the voice of God, you're going to have a son. It says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God. What's God told you? What's God promised you in your life? What are some things that you feel God has shown you or revealed to you? Maybe you've been on course and maybe a storm has blown up and you've had to land for a while and you're sitting there at an unknown airport. You feel like you're only halfway on your journey or three-fourths of the way on your journey. Well, I've got good news for you. You can take off again. You can believe what God said. You can believe in the voice of God. You can believe in the Word of God and the promises of God. That's flying by faith, flying by instruments. Well, let me back up. I remember they took me into a simulator. They had a simulator. It wasn't a real airplane, but it looked just like they had cut the dash out of an airplane. A simulator simulates what it would be like if you were flying an airplane. All the instruments move in unison. They all react just like you're flying a real airplane, but you're sitting there in your office. Man, he brought this simulator in, set it up, put a hood on my head to get me used to that, and it began to give me instructions. Turn right to 090. So I turned the airplane right to 090. You know, you can tell if you're getting nose high, nose low. You can tell if you're about to stall. You can tell if you've turned too far and you've gone to 100 degrees. You need to turn back, correct back to 090. And they just force you there in the office. They just force you to begin to fly by instruments. And all of a sudden, listen to me now. All of a sudden, those instruments are painting pictures in your mind. You hearing me? They're painting pictures in your mind. You're getting a mental image of your position. Where am I? Where's the airport that I took off from? It's behind me now. Okay, I'm coming in to do this approach. I'm left downwind. I'm on the left side, you see, of the airport, and I'm flying downwind. All right, now I'm turning to the right. Okay, now the airport's back off to my right. Now I've turned final. I'm on final approach. Now the airport's straight in front of me. Even though I don't see it, you know, the clouds are there. It's right in front of me. And those instruments are no longer just disjointed gauges. Those instruments are working like an orchestra to paint a picture in your imagination. And you begin to visualize. One of the things they teach as a pilot is you must visualize. You must have position awareness. You must be able to see in your mind a mental picture of where you are, where you're going, where's the airport, where's the runway. Because when you break out of the clouds, there's the runway. You know it's there because you pictured it was there and the instruments told you it was there. Well, see, faith is just like that. Faith, God's Word, will paint a picture. The Bible is very big. It says visions and dreams. The Holy Spirit will give us visions and dreams. He'll show you things to come. He'll speak to you. Why? He's painting a picture. He's painting a faith image. He's showing you what's ahead so that you can begin to navigate by, you know, some pilots call it the sixth sense. I've never liked that, but they'll just jokingly say, well, once you learn to fly by instruments, you've got a sixth sense. In other words, you've learned how to fly by instruments. Well, I'll tell you, Christians, they've got a sixth sense. They've got the Holy Ghost sense, praise God. And we need to learn how to fly by that. Back here to Romans, I said chapter 3, actually it's chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, I want to read it, verse 17 in its entirety. As it is written, now this is God that spoke to Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. You know, God came to Abraham and said, I have made you a father of many nations. He said that before the son of promise was ever born. See, God calls the things ahead of time. He shows you things to come. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calls those things which be not as though they were. So the Holy Spirit, you know, that's the way He operates. He doesn't operate in the yesterday much. He operates in the future. He's showing you things to come. He's painting a picture. Why? So that you can get on autopilot and navigate there. Verse 18. This is, again, about Abraham, who, against hope, believed in hope, that he might become. Did you get that? See, against hope. I mean, you know, your natural body, Abraham's natural body was saying, you're too old. Sarah's too old. Forget it. And I'll tell you, the devil, he'll try to just get you in that reasoning process. You'll never have a business. You'll never own a home. You know, your family's had some stress here, so it's shot. You might as well give it up. Yeah, your parents were divorced, so that's probably the way you're going to be. And I'll tell you, there goes the devil. No, you don't believe that stuff. You believe what God has said. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. So God spoke it ahead of time. Abraham believed it. Why? So that he might become it. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, there's some things you just don't need to consider. Yeah, they're out there. That storm is out there, but I'm not going to spend all my time thinking about that storm. I'm going around it. It's there, and I'm not going to get all worried about, oh, what if that storm jumps out and get me? It's not going to jump out and get me. I'm going to go around it. See, and my eyes are where I'm going, not what could stop me. And some of us, some of you listening, maybe you've been defeated lately because, or discouraged lately, because you've been considering too much the storms instead of where you come from and where you're going. Verse 19, and be not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I tell you, there's times where you just need to say, glory to God. Glory to God. My business is prospering. Glory to God. Missionaries are coming our way. Glory to God. We've got the money we need. Glory to God. I've got the equipment I need. Glory to God. My children are going to love God and walk with God. They're not going to end up rebellious and stubborn. I just give you glory, God. It's not what I'm doing. It's what you're doing. Glory to God. I'm keeping my eyes on the instrument panel. I'm going to land there. Glory to God. I'm going to get to Kansas City, you know, or wherever. Glory to God. Verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Woo, boy, I tell you, that's a powerful passage. That's Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 17. Flying by instruments. There's a parallel lesson there to piloting your life in Christ. You're going to have to depend more on what God has said, what your instrument panel, the Bible, has said, than what circumstances, family members, well-meaning church friends may try to discourage you with. I'll tell you what, between, you know, some church folks and the devil, you know, we could get there a whole lot quicker if they were out of the way.
Some of the people that have opposed me the most are supposedly Spirit-filled Christians. And, you know, I had one guy call me up when we started our missionary program. This was years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. Call me up, spent God's good money to call me on the telephone and tell me that he didn't think, you know, the body of Christ needed another missionary organization. In fact, he went on to say, well, you know, all the countries are closing. You know, Brother Peebles, all the countries are closing. The doors are shutting everywhere. It won't be long. You won't be able to get in any countries. So I think you're just wasting your time and God's effort to try to start another missionary program. Countries are closing all over the world. Well, you know, he didn't know that the wall of Berlin was coming down. He didn't know that the Soviet Union was going to open up. He didn't have the faith that I do that China is going to open up. Bless God, there are more countries now open to the gospel than there were 5 or 6 years ago. I just believe God knew what he was talking about when he said, go ye into all the world. I don't think we need to analyze it or dissect it. He said, go, and that means people, and that means missionaries or apostles or whatever term you like to hang on it. People, flesh and blood, going for the sake of the gospel. Well, I kept my eyes on that, and I give God the glory. I tell you, there were times I felt like quitting. I want you to know there were times I was spitting mad, discouraged with myself, discouraged with everybody else. And I'd just sit down and just finally get my gaze back on the instrument panel, praise God, and start flying the airplane again. And I'm just being as honest with you as I know how to do. I mean, I've had times of discouragement. Everybody has. I don't like to hear teachers that try to indicate they never had discouragements, because I just know that's not the case. Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane was struggling and wrestling. Devil was trying to sidetrack him. He said, nope, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, O Father, be done. Abba, Father. And the Holy Spirit will help us pray, Abba, Father. And that's a kickback to when Jesus was in the garden. That's the Holy Spirit's not just going to say two words through us called Abba, Father. That's ridiculous. The Holy Spirit's going to help us say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will, thy course, thy path, thy mission, thy destination be done. And he'll help us get there. All right, the last one. Number four. I'll tell you what, I'm preaching myself plumb happy. I'm having a good time with this. Spiritual navigation. Number four. Here's the fourth key for spiritual navigation. In order to fly an airplane and properly navigate, you must develop good communication skills. Let me read that again. In order to fly an airplane and properly navigate, you must develop good communication skills. Now, there's another part to this that I hope you'll write down. You are required. Now, this is talking, you know, from the natural side of flying an airplane. You are required. It's not an option. You are required to talk to the controllers. This involves transmitting and receiving on your part. In order to fly an airplane and properly navigate, you must develop good communication skills. That's what they call them in the piloting world. All the books and manuals have a section called communication skills. You are required to talk to the controllers, what they call the flight controllers, air traffic controllers. These are the guys that sit, you know, looking at the big radars. They see all the planes flying around. You're required to talk to the controllers. This involves two things: transmitting and receiving on your part. Now, let me start with the natural, then we'll kick this over to the spiritual. Student pilots. I tell you, when you're a student pilot, there's so much you got to learn that you're almost overwhelmed. And to talk on a microphone seems silly. I mean, the guy hands you the microphone. He says, okay, Jason, go ahead and call the tower. Tell them what we're going to do, where we're going to go, and get clearance so we can take off from here. And the first time you do that, it seems so silly holding this little piece of plastic up to your mouth like you're talking to somebody and you can't even see the guy. You know, and you push the button down and you know, you're kind of awkward at first. Push the button down and go, what did you tell me to say? And so he walks you through it. And, of course, the guys in the tower, they're real kind and patient, normally speaking. And so, you know, you tell them, this is Cessna, whatever plane you're in. You know, this is Cessna 56, what does that C stand for? You know, he says, Charlie. This is Cessna 56 Charlie. Over? You know, you just seem, you're just shy, you're embarrassed, it seems silly. But I tell you what, it doesn't take long. Do you realize when you press that button and talk, man, somebody's listening on the other end, and they're going to talk back to you. And all of a sudden, you hear blaring over the speaker in your airplane, Cessna 56 Charlie, this is Peachtree to Cab Tower. You are cleared to taxi to runway 2 left. And then you got to come back and acknowledge that. The first time you're real awkward. Okay. No, dummy, don't say okay. Tell him the way you're supposed to tell him. 56 Charlie, Roger, 2 left. And you begin to learn the lingo. Now, let me read some of the things here off of the study guide. And I think you're going to see the parallel between praying, listening, being alert, spending time in intercession, tongue and interpretation, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, ministering unto the Lord and expecting Him to talk back to you. All right, number one, student pilots are shy when it comes to talking on the radio. They do not yet know the lingo, and they are not bold on the radio. It does not take long, though, to realize that your very life can depend on information that will only come through the radio. It may be current weather information, traffic information, or airport information that is needed, but it will come through the radio. Because of this, the pilot must learn how to properly transmit and receive information. And we've got this underlined on our study guide, and boy, it bears really emphasizing. Ongoing communication is essential. So you don't just talk when you take off one time and then talk when you land. You take off, you talk. When you get in the air, they hand you off from tower to departure control. From departure control, they walk you out 30 miles outside of Atlanta, then they turn you over to Atlanta Center. You're talking to a guy in another building in Atlanta Center. Then they hand you from Atlanta Center to Birmingham Approach, if you're headed that way. Birmingham Approach talks with you a while, then they hand you off, to Memphis Center. Then Memphis Center handles you a little while, and they're talking with you. You pass under Memphis, and you head on out there. They hand you off to Little Rock Approach. Little Rock Approach talks to you a little while. Then they hand you off to Memphis Center again. Then Memphis Center hands you over to Tulsa. And you get the idea. They just walk you across the country, and you're talking ongoing communication. Why? Because weather changes. Traffic changes. There may be another airplane that wasn't up there an hour ago. See? For the believer... And I'm back on the study guide now. For the believer, spiritual navigation likewise depends on proper communication skills. Praying, listening. You've got to be alert. Storms can be avoided if you know about them. Problems can be avoided and or overcome with the right information. James 4 verse 8 says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." I tell you, the Bible is full of men who turned the tide because they took the time to communicate in the Spirit. They took the time to pray. They took the time to seek God. They didn't just say, I talked with God yesterday. Well, it was great at last year's camp meeting. Well, I listened to tapes a month ago. They were good. Well, I'll tell you what, a whole lot's happened a month ago, between a month ago and now. I can't help but think, and we'll just look very briefly. This is a story you really ought to spend some time studying in your Bible. Mark it up. I mean, mark it up. 2 Chronicles 20, the story of Jehoshaphat. I'm just going to hit some of the highlights. Man, here come several nations against Jehoshaphat. I mean, these guys that are normally enemies all gang up on him. Moab, Ammon, the Ammonites, they come, it says, against Jehoshaphat for war. So here they come. Well, verse 3, Jehoshaphat's first... I like the Bible. It's so honest, Puts that touch of humanity in there. Doesn't make everybody sound like they're just instantaneous spiritual giants. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 3, it says, "And Jehoshaphat feared." I like that. I mean, that's what I would have done, man. I'd got afraid in the beginning. "And Jehoshaphat feared." But then it says, "And set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah." Man, the guy said, "Okay, I am afraid, but I know somebody who can whip these guys. It's God. We're going to go seek God. We're going to hear from God." Verse 4, "And Judah gathered themselves together," all of Jehoshaphat's people. Now listen, "to ask help of the Lord." That's prayer. That's intercession. That's talking to God. "Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." So they begin to pray, and it records their prayer here. Basically, they say, man, we have no power. Verse 12 says, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Man, that's real praying. Man, I don't know what to do. I've got some ideas, but when it comes down to it, I don't know what to do. We've got an army, but we don't know how to win. We're talking to you, God. We're transmitting. We got the radio button pushed down, and we are transmitting heavy duty. Atlanta Center, Atlanta Center. This is Lance, 399-84. Over. Silence. I've had that happen so many times. Atlanta Center, this is Lance, 399-84. Over. You look back down in your book and check the frequency, make sure you got it dialed in. Sometimes you've dialed it wrong. Huh, there's a lesson there, isn't it? Sometimes it's dialed right. The guy's on coffee break. I don't know what he's doing. You know, he's busy. Of course, God's never too busy, but I'm just trying to give you some parallels here. If you don't first think that you've broken through, then you keep talking. Atlanta Center, this is Lance 399-84. Do you read? Over. Lance 399-84, this is Atlanta Center. Go ahead. Yes, sir, we're with you, level at 10,000 feet. We are 40 DME southwest of Atlanta. We'd like to request flight following. Over. Lance 399-84, squawk 3456 and ident. Over. You know, they give you the right radar frequency, and all of a sudden you're hooked up. I said you're hooked up. Information is flowing. You're on radar. There you go. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14, it says, Then upon Jehaziel, one of the men there who was seeking God with Jehoshaphat, it says, Came the Spirit of God in the midst of the congregation, and this man said, he stood up and he prophesied. See, God talks back. I'm telling you what, God talks back. I'm so glad that I'm part of the church that believes that God talks back. There's a lot of fine, born-again people. They really don't believe God talks back. They wouldn't prophesy. I mean, they wouldn't even dream of trying to prophesy. Speaking in tongues, interpreting, are you kidding? I mean, they don't even know that, you know, God's still alive and talks. They think it's just a one-way street. We talk to God and hope things work out. Nope, God will talk to you. This guy prophesies, Thus says the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours but God's. Tomorrow go down against them. And God gives them some information here that they couldn't have known in the natural. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. See, God says, I'll tell you exactly where you're going to find them. Go down there tomorrow and whoop them. I'll be fighting with you. In fact, I'm going to win the battle for you, but I'm going to tell you where they are. And he gives them instructions. Go down there and I want you to worship. That seems so silly. Worship me. Praise me. And he concludes with this, Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. This is verse 20. Now listen to this. Do you believe in the Lord? Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so you shall prosper. Can I just paraphrase that? Because the context says it this way. Believe in what God says to you, and you shall be established. Believe his prophetic utterances by the Holy Spirit, and you shall prosper. Trust in your ability to transmit, and trust in your ability to receive. See, base your life on what God says. Well, they did, and you know the story. They won. It was a mighty victory. And it says it took them several days, 3 days, to pick up all the gold, the jewels, the riches, and the precious stones off of that enemy's camp. In other words, God rewarded their faith. Well, there you go. There's some tremendous parallel truths, parallel lessons for spiritual navigation. Transmitting and receiving, spending time praying. I hope, I trust that this tape, this study has encouraged you. Just put a spark in you. You know, we've covered a lot of things, but just more than anything, just sparked you to be all you can be in God, to spend time seeking Him. Do what's necessary. Don't get discouraged if you've gotten off course or you've had to land at an alternate airport for a moment to let a storm pass by. That's okay. Take off again. Get back on course and keep on going. Next month, for our partners and, of course, those of you who purchase this at a later time, the next tape will continue this study on some vital real keys for parallel truths for spiritual navigation. Again, thank you for your support. I mean it. You know, I'm in this for more than just me. I mean, we're helping missionaries. I'm not trying to build a Jason Peebles empire. I don't want to build a world outreach empire. I want to build the kingdom of God. And it takes people like you helping us, praying, sending some of your money. As carnal as that sounds, yep, it takes money to pay bills, print things, hire secretaries, operate computers. People that will just be willing to send some money on a regular basis, pray for us on a regular basis, help us that way. Together, we are making a dramatic difference in the nations of this world. Why? Because we've got friends out there. Our tapes are going around the world. We distribute these same tapes, these same study guides to all of our missionaries, and each one of the missionaries has hooked us up with a national. We have a TNT program, Tapes for Native Training. So we send these tapes and these materials to English-speaking nationals, natives in other countries. So see, it's spreading, and you're a part of it, and we thank you for it. God bless you. Have a great day and a great week in the Lord. Hello, this is Jason Peebles, and this is a special cassette teaching tape on spiritual navigation. In fact, this is part one of a two-part series on spiritual navigation, how to navigate your life and your course by God's Spirit. What we're going to be doing on this particular series of tapes is we're going to be looking at parallel truths and parallel lessons that come from my flying experience, and we're going to relate that to piloting our lives in Christ. So it's going to be a very unique study. I think you'll get a lot out of it. I think it'll be approached from an angle that maybe you've not looked at before. You know, when we talk about spiritual navigation, we're really talking about spiritual sensitivity, sensitivity to God's Spirit. We're also talking about the realm of divine guidance, making right choices. How do you make right choices? Really, when you think about it, our lives are a series of choices and decisions. And as we make choices and decisions through our lives, it takes us down a path. It takes us down a road. And of course, the Bible says, I've set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. So this whole idea of spiritual navigation, charting your course by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, is extremely, extremely important. Now, I bet you can tell that I'm recording this in my studio here in the Atlanta area. And normally when we produce tapes, there are tapes that come right out of our live seminars or our live conferences. But I've chosen rather to get in the studio. I feel like it's going to be more of a personal study. I can stick to the material better. In fact, I'm going to be using two of the study guides that we send out to our partners every single month.